Have I started too soon, Greg? Okay. Most years, the way that it works is on Father's Day, you show up for church, and guess what? You're going to get beat up on, okay? But on Mother's Day, we always make it a point. We always make it a point to take care of Mom and to sing Mom's praises. So this year, I thought we'd change it up a little bit. I thought, yeah, you've already seen it, haven't you? Okay. Well, that just kind of blew that one. So anyways, let's move on to the next slide. You know, I know, though, if I tried to give a sermon on beating up Mom, on telling Mom about how she should be better than what she is, not only would the Holy Spirit shut me down, okay, but I'm quite positive, and my sister would probably attest to it, that I think my mom would show up here from Sebastian and lovingly counsel me on why I should change my message. So I would not dare do that. So instead today, we're going to look at God's recipe for a great mom. And I hope the gift that you got kind of goes along with that. The little recipe cards, you guys enjoy those. All right, but there's a great recipe that God has for us this morning. A great recipe for a great mom. And we're going to go to Proverbs 31 this morning to see that recipe. All right, and let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our scripture for this morning. God, once again, we come to you as your people, and we thank you for being our God. Lord, and this morning especially, we thank you for the fact that you've placed these ladies in our lives, these wonderful ladies we call mom. You've given them to us to minister to us, to provide for us, Lord, to be a shoulder to cry on. Lord, they fulfill so many different roles, and you've given them the strength and the ability to do them all so very well. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for mom this morning. Lord, we just ask that this morning your word will enlighten us even further about the blessing of motherhood. That your word will show us even more so as husbands and children, Lord, that we should not only love our mothers, but we should treasure our mothers. Lord, I pray that that result occur today. In your name we ask all these things. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to go to verse 10. If you have your Bibles, please open them up. If not, I do have them on the overhead as well. So I'll give you just a moment, and then we will proceed. I took the message this morning out of the message version, which I don't normally do. Usually I work out of the NIV or the NAS. But I liked how the message said it this morning. So you're going to hear the message from the message today. All right, so starting in verse 10. It says, "A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn, preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then with money she's put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She shops the clearance racks at Bell's and does not go to Macy's." Okay, that one might not be in there. Let's continue. Come on, folks. What are y'all doing? "She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty soon fades away. The woman to be admired and praised is a woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises." What an awesome piece of scripture there. What an awesome, awesome piece of scripture from the Word. You know, the first thing I want to talk about here real fast, and you guys are going to have to forgive me for kind of jumping off my direction here for a moment. But the very first words of this passage says, a good woman is hard to find. Anybody here? Yeah, I got one amen up here. How about some other amen, guys? Absolutely. It's tough to find a good woman. You know, and I want to share with you something that has become more and more concerning to my heart, especially now that I have two younger women coming up in my home. All right, and that's this. That the Bible makes it very clear that a good woman is hard to find and very, very valuable. She is a rarity. She is something that should be treasured and sought after. And the major problem that I'm foreseeing in the world today and in our nation today is that many women, young women and older women, are making it too easy. We're making it far too easy. We're putting ourselves out there. You're putting yourselves out there in such a way to say, look at me. You know, we're not making it to where they're hard to find. The Bible's very clear, isn't it? It doesn't say that you're going to just walk around the corner and there's a great woman. It says they're hard to find. See, the idea seems to be now that women have to dress in a certain way and have to act in a certain way to be seen. But that's not what the Bible speaks of. The Bible speaks that they are like a treasure and that they are hard to find. Ladies, I got to tell you, quite frankly, you're making it too easy on the guys sometimes. You know, sometimes you're just making it far, far too easy. You shouldn't present yourself to all men as a temporary and easy thing, but instead you should have reserve. See, and not just for any man. I started thinking about this week. I started thinking about this idea of, I'm just going to be personal here, my wife. And I thought back, okay, with Eve. You realize that Adam and Eve was made completely and specifically for Adam. Made from Adam's own body. When God took the rib from Adam, there was something missing until Eve came to him. And then he was whole again. And that hasn't changed. You look throughout the scriptures, Sarah was made exclusively and particularly for Abraham. Okay, Rebecca was made for Isaac alone. Mary was made alone for Joseph. And the list just continues to go on and on. Again, Eve was fashioned from the very rib of Adam. She was part of his being, and he was not complete until she was there. God's plan, okay, since time began, has been for one woman and one man. And I can assure you beyond any shadow of a doubt that I love all you ladies out here, but none of y'all could put up with me to begin with. Okay? None of you could complete me, and none of you could make me whole except for the one that just took the kids out of here. That's the only one. That's the only woman in all of creation that can ever do that. So how special do you think she is to me? How valuable is she to me? She's worth everything. Everything. I would lay my life down for it. That's how valuable she is to me. And the great thing is this, that ladies, you don't have to settle for anything less. Okay? You don't have to settle just for any guy. You can wait for that man, for that specific man that God has made you for. You know, there is nothing greater. I won't say nothing because there's a lot of good things that I get a chance to do. But one of the best things that I've had the opportunity to do is to perform a marriage ceremony, is to see two people who have finally found each other, you know. And we talk in that ceremony about how one will cleave to the other, how they will become one flesh. And that is a beautiful thing. That is an awesome thing. And it's even better when you know that this woman has reserved herself, that this man has reserved himself, and that there is nobody else that will ever fit that role. So again, going back to that scripture, okay, the Bible says a good woman is hard to find. Okay, ladies, be hard to find. Okay, be hard to find, because what you're going to have is a man who absolutely values you. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's get back to the kitchen though, okay? Let's get back to this recipe I started to begin speaking of here. This recipe that God has for a great mom. The first ingredient this morning comes out of our passage. It says here, her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Her husband trusts her. The first ingredient in a great mom is trust. Okay? Great moms are trustworthy through and through, from front to back. and she gives no reason for her husband or her children to ever regret the confidence that they've placed in her. Now, trust that we're speaking of, this is a big responsibility, ladies. This is a big deal. And I can assure you that you cannot do it alone. You cannot accomplish it alone. King David knew a little bit about trust. Okay, King David knew the importance of trust, and he knew where trust came from, where the ability to really trust. He knew where it came from. And because of that, when you look through the book of Psalms, which David penned most of the Psalms, you know what you find as an underlying theme through the book of Psalms? You find trust. You find trust as one of the underlying themes through all the Psalms. I'll give you some examples here. Psalms 9:10 says this, "Those who know your name," David is speaking of the Lord, "those who know the name of God will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Skip ahead 20 Psalms and 31:14. It says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God." You can skip ahead 30 more Psalms. Same idea. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Underlying theme throughout the Psalms of trust. Okay? Great moms who have trust, who have the trust and confidence of their children, are smart enough to know where that trust comes from. Okay? Trust is, it's just like anything else. It doesn't just spring out of nowhere. Okay? Trust takes root in a certain place. And you know where it takes root from? You know where it begins at? It begins at the throne of God. Okay? That's where trust takes root from. It spreads out from there. But real trust, the kind of trust that great moms have, okay, that comes from the very throne of God. From the very feet of our Lord is where that trust comes from. So I've said a lot about trust there. I'll move forward here. But don't let me underemphasize the importance, okay, of trust as the first ingredient of a great mom. The second ingredient, continuing in the passage, it says, "She senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day." Good moms, great moms, you know what? Would you agree that's hard work? Would anybody disagree that's hard work? Yeah, no, absolutely. Almost the entire piece of the passage that we read here talked about all the things that moms do. All the things. And you know, and I can tell you that even though we read for it, and it was what, 20 verses talking about all these great things that moms do, who here knows that moms do a lot more than that? I mean, moms, yeah, thank you. Moms do a tremendous amount. And it is very, very hard work. And in fact, I read this last week. It said, "The quickest way for a mother to get the attention of her children is to sit down and look comfortable." That's the easiest way for the mom to get the kids' attention. You know, mom, if you want a few minutes to yourself, you know what I recommend? Do the dishes at night. Okay? You'll get all the time to yourself you want. Okay? But moms are constantly very, very hardworking, aren't they? All the time. Now, there's a story here I also read. This just tickled me. But a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question: "My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things. What am I?" When the grades were all in, over half of the class wrote "mother." Okay? The name starts with M, and I pick up things. Who is that? That's mom, isn't it? That's a mother. So dads, kids, everybody else here, okay, keep in mind that moms don't get to get off of work at a certain time. Okay? On President's Day, moms don't get the 3-day weekend. All right? Okay, and in fact, even today, Mother's Day, guess what? Mom is still mom today. All right? Her job is never ending. And I hope that today, I hope we do this every day, but I hope that especially today we take a moment and appreciate mom for just that, for being our moms, for being willing to go through all of that for us. So it's hard work. First one is trust. The second ingredient, hard work. The third ingredient this morning says she's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. What does that remind you of? Reminds me of the word generosity. A good mom, a great mom, has generosity. Now, when I think about that, and I think about the heart of a great mom, what makes up the heart of a great mom, When you look at that, what I see is the same heart that Jesus had. That's what I see when I look at the heart of a great mom. What I see is a heart of service. I see a heart of sacrifice. And as we said here, I see a heart of generosity. Remember that our Lord, when He came down here, when He came to visit us, okay, in human flesh, He could have rightly taken a place as King of the world. He could have been born in the capital city of Jerusalem. He could have been born to the royal, most wealthy family in Jerusalem. All right, and He could have been waited on hand and foot His entire life. And He could have done all that without any cause. He is the Lord of Lords. That was His rightful place. But He had a different plan, didn't He? That wasn't His heart when He came. He chose instead, He chose to serve rather than be served. He chose to sacrifice rather than receive. Jesus chose generosity rather than selfishness. Now, how often do our moms make that same choice? Every day. Every day. Let me tell you a story here, and I'll keep it brief. All right. My mom was 17 years old when she had me. Just basically, pretty much still a kid. All right. Had me at 17 years old. I was 2 months premature. I spent the first several weeks of my life in the hospital. My mom not assured that I would survive. Okay, it's back in 78, so they weren't able to do some of the things they can do today. All right. Three, four weeks I spent in the hospital, not even sure if I would even survive. All right. You know how many times my mom left that hospital? The entire time. You know how many times she left? None. Not a single day. My uncles and my aunts and my grandmother, they'd bring clothes and food, and they'd ask her, come on, Pam, let's go back and we'll get you some rest. We'll take you out for a nice dinner. We'll get you a chance just to recharge the batteries. Do whatever. You know what? She wasn't leaving. She wasn't leaving. That same mom, when I was 12 years old, my parents divorced and was left with the concept of having to care for 4 children. All right? Now, when you ask me, what does generosity look like here on Mother's Day, you know what I would tell you? Generosity to me, in my mind's eye, looks like a mom who works 2 or 3 jobs, okay, who only sleeps maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, all right, who does everything for the kids, and in all of that, still finds time to attend every church or every function at school and still get her kids to church. That is generosity. I think back about those times, and I've had a rough time here and there. When I was in my early 20s, I was working maybe 12, 13 hours a day. But you know what? Man, that's nothing compared to what my mom did. I mean, nothing at all. But that's because she had a heart of generosity. Because she put my needs and the needs of my siblings, the needs of her family, above her own. She chose to serve rather than be served. She sacrificed at 17 years old. What does a 17-year-old girl have to sacrifice to have a baby? You got to give up life. You have the whole world in front of you, and you said, no, I'm going to choose this. Now, my mom chose me when she wasn't even sure I'd be there. I can't tell you, how grateful I am. Okay, but on Mother's Day, I especially remember those things. And I know that my mom is not alone in those kind of decisions. I mean, I can look out here and at the eyes of the moms that I'm looking at, I know that I have plenty of moms here that have made the same kind of decisions, the same kind of sacrifices, the same choice to serve, and they have a heart full of generosity. I know that this morning. I've seen it here recently. Okay? So, moms, thank you. Thank you so very much for putting your needs, way behind everybody else's. Thank you for being there when nobody else is. Thank you. That's the third ingredient, generosity. The fourth one is a little different. The passage here says, her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. The woman who lives in the fear of God. Anybody here know what the fear of God is? It's a tough one, isn't it? You might be saying to me, Tim, what you mean is the love of God, right? I would say yes. You might say, Tim, what you mean is like a real respect and a reverence for God. I would say, yep. You might say, Tim, you mean to honor and to worship God. Yes, yes. And then you might say, but that's it, right? And I would say, nope. Okay, no. The Bible is very clear. It teaches us very clearly to have a fear of our holy God. The Old Testament told us in Psalm 66:16, come and listen, all you who fear God. If you want to listen, if you want to hear the good news, it says, come and listen if you fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. You think, well, Old Testament, that's before the cross. Come on, Tim, we're a New Testament church. Okay, I follow that. How about this? Acts 13:16, Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The fear of God, how important is that in a great mom? It's the final ingredient in a great mom. But you know what? It's much bigger than that. Much, much bigger. Because it is vitally important to every single walk in this room today. Not just you moms today. Guys, I'm talking to you too. You didn't escape out of here unscathed today, okay? The fear of God in your walk with Jesus Christ is vitally, vitally important. King Solomon said this. King Solomon, one of the wisest kings ever to reign, said, he whose walk is upright fears the Lord. If your walk is upright, Solomon says that is directly connected to the fact that you fear the Lord. Just a few verses later, he says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil. How important is it to fear the Lord? This idea of the fear of God. But you know, in the church today, and this is incredibly unfortunate, there's not a whole lot of fear of God. Not much at all. We have a lot of love of God. We have a lot of respect to God. We do a lot of praising of God. But then we kind of fall short, don't we? There's a certain line that I think all of us are willing to walk to, but when you hit that point and the fear of God is right there, a lot of us turn around and go the other way. We're just not willing to get to that point. There's something about it that just doesn't sit right with us. But you know what? It doesn't matter if it sits right with you or not. Okay? The Bible says that to be an upright person, to have a great walk, if you want to listen to the Lord, you got to fear the Lord. You have to have a healthy fear of God. You know, here's the thing. The fear of the Lord is we have the wrong mental concept here. Okay, so let me help clarify this. It is in the fear of the Lord that we find safety and refuge. Within the fear of the Lord. Okay, how do I know that? Psalm 34:7 says this. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Do you want safety and refuge? Do you want to feel safe in your homes? Do you want your family to be safe from the attack of this world? The Bible spells it out for you. The fear of God. It says the angel of the Lord. That's another way of saying Jesus Christ encamps around those who fear Him. Puts His arms around those who fear Him. You want safety and refuge? Fear the Lord. It's in the fear of the Lord that we find provision. That our needs are met. I know some of you might be independently wealthy and you're not worried about your needs. I am, okay? I have a concern about where my needs are going to be met. But when I get honest with myself and I look in this book, you know what it says? Psalm 34:9 says, O fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him, there is no want. There's no want. How much of our lives do we tie up in trying to pursue and obtain all the things that we need? You know what? A lot of times we don't have it because we don't have any fear of God. And then we ask why. Why don't I have those things? Why don't I have my wants? The Bible says it. It's in the fear of the Lord. For those who fear Him, there is no want. Finally, in the fear of the Lord, we find direction, purpose, and your answers. Why you're here. What am I supposed to do? Where do you want me to go? All those questions are answered. Again, Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It goes on to say, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, I know I'm just kind of really running this idea of fear of the Lord, But you know, as I was putting this thing together, I was getting to the end of it and I thought, I'll just snap right on through it. But you know what? I can't. I really can't, because there is a real lack in the church today of this fear of the Lord. We're just, something's wrong. The church has many wants, doesn't it? The church is not always in safe. It's not always in a place of refuge. You know, we don't always have our provisions met. Why? Churches are folding up across America every day. Why? Because there's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of God. And God spells it out very clearly. How do you get those things? You get them through going to, or because you are having the correct, holy fear of the Lord. So, I will step off of that here for a moment. Okay? And I want to get back to this morning and get back to our special guest and moms. All right? I didn't forget about you guys, believe it or not. All right? And I think it's incredibly, exceptionally fitting that the book of Proverbs, okay, the book of wisdom in the Bible, all right, written by the wisest man in history, King Solomon, the book of Proverbs, you know, the very last thing that he says. Anybody ever read a book? What's the most important parts of the book to read? Right? The very first couple pages and the very end, right? Okay, so the book of Proverbs, the wisest thing out there, the wisest book in the Bible, says this in the very last verses. It says, give her, meaning mom, give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. That's wisdom. Wisdom. The Bible tells us to celebrate moms, to honor our moms, to festoon their life with praises. I'm not 100% sure what festoon means, but it sounds pretty good, okay? You know, ask me later, I'll give you the definition. Now, I know for some today, some of you are sitting here today, and Mother's Day is just kind of like any other day. And you think to yourself, you know what, it's not really that important. I have something to share with you to conclude today, and then we're going to go to the Lord in some prayer and seek His guidance on some issues. But somebody once said this. They said, it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. That somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. You know, somebody once said, you learn how to be a mother by instinct. That somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody once said, being a mother is boring. That somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody once said, if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. That somebody thinks a child comes with directions and a guarantee. You know, somebody once said that good mothers never raise their voices. That somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody once said you don't need an education to be a mother. That somebody has never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody once said that you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. That somebody doesn't have more than one child. Somebody once said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. That somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose. I've seen it happen. Somebody once said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. That somebody has never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody once said a mother can do her job with her eyes closed and one hand tied behind her back. That somebody never organized 7 giggling Girl Scouts to sell cookies. Somebody once said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Apparently not. That somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody once said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. That somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody once said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. That somebody is not a mother. All right? Go home today. All right? Take a moment. Tell your mom that you love her. All right? Guys, if you're in here today, kids, if you're in here today, do not pass up the opportunity to tell mom that you love her today. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful morning. Thank you for the fact that you have blessed each of us in our lives with that special someone we call Mom. Lord, and just like us, sometimes they stumble, sometimes they fail. But Lord, you've given them such an incredible responsibility. Lord, and we just, this morning, we want to say thank you. Lord, this morning we want to be encouragement, and we want to shower blessings upon our mothers this morning. God, I pray that for each mother here this morning, for those who are away and not able to attend, Lord, for those who this day are with you, God, I pray that you will just hold them close, that you will give them that extra special hug today. Say to them, well done, well done. God, again, we thank you for Mom this morning. Lord, and I pray as we conclude this morning, I know we've had a good time, Lord, I thank you for that. But God, I also never want to leave this building without giving someone, without giving a soul the opportunity to know about this relationship. You know, the relationship with Mom is one thing, but it is pale in comparison to the relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit move on any heart that does not know you, that you will bring that heart to a place where he or she knows that there is nothing in life without you. Everything is temporal. You are eternal. God, I pray and I beg you that you do not let that soul leave this morning not knowing you. I also know, Lord, that there are many burdens on these hearts this morning. That even as we celebrate with our mothers, there are burdens that we carry, just outside burdens. This world is so heavy sometimes. God, I pray that you teach us that you are a mighty God. That you are, as the song said, you move mountains. God, help us to lay those burdens at your feet and then just watch as you sweep them away. Churches, we close this morning. I just ask that you will remain in a state of prayer, but I'm going to ask something else as well. I've had numerous people this morning who it's an honor to hear the burdens that you carry and to pray with you. But I can assure you that this morning you are here with not just one preacher, not just one saint, but you are here in a family of saints and in a family of priests. And I pray this morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand as a congregation, but I will say this, that if you need prayer this morning, if you know this morning there's a burden that you are carrying, there's a concern on your heart, whatever that need is, I would ask that you would either stand in place, raise a hand. In church, I'm going to challenge you to be the church, to not be just Sunday morning, you know, visitors, but to be the church. And when you see that hand go up or you see that man or woman stand, I'm going to challenge you to go to them and to pray with them and to lift them up and to be that family. So as the music plays...